Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
And welcome to another victory edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for joining us and supporting us. And today we're going to do a little collaboration, because joining us from Locked On Stars is the greatness of Joey Erickson. I tell everyone, please check out his podcast as well. Together, we are growing Stars content in DFW and beyond. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, Gavin. Thank you so much for having me on. I love the opportunity to chat Stars with you, and it's a great week. Stanley Cup playoff hockey is just so invigorating, and it's really, really thrilling to watch the Stars play some of their best hockey over the last week and a half or so, because it was quite the adventure the last month of the regular season. But they're playing great now. They have a series lead and a chance to close things out. And I think if you polled the majority of Stars fans, Gavin, I don't know if they would say Dallas would be at this point in this opportunity. But it's been great and a lot of fun. But again, thank you so much for having me on. Love chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start out with a game, Mr. Erickson. Wyatt Johnston scores 9 seconds in. That's the fifth fastest playoff goal in NHL history. Name that second, Joey, as far as what is the fastest.
Maybe 4 seconds. Ooh, possibly the fastest. That seems really, really quick. Is it five?
Six.
Six. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Four would be quick, but you know, I could see a McDavid or Gretzky just flying down the middle of the rink. But six feels about right. Who scored the tally?
Don Kozak for the Los Angeles Kings. 6 seconds. April 7th, 1977.
Alrighty. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Can't say I knew that one. That's for sure. I would have lost that trivia question.
That was unique. Let's talk about this roller coaster series, because that's what it kind of is. Both teams evenly matched. Both teams dominate one game. And, you know, other than that, it's been pretty close. I really like what Pete DeBoer said before the game, as far as our top six need to answer the bell. And he had said previously as well, as far as straight lines, getting in front, you know, just a lot of things that Coach DeBoer is saying. When they come to fruition, I think the Stars win. And that's really important. I feel as though this team responds to what the coach is saying.
Yeah, I think they showed that stat on Victory Plus last night. Dallas is 12-5 after a loss in the postseason under head coach Pete DeBoer.
He needs to
challenge his top six a bit more, and they came out in a big way. It was just a great response in general. They laid a bit of an egg in game four. It was certainly not how they wanted to play, but credit to Colorado too. They came out hungry and desperate with their season on the line, so to speak. They don't want to go down to Dallas 3-1, and they punch back. And this was just a massive, massive response on home ice for the Stars. They got the crowd involved, and this is something that I thought about last night before I finally got to sleep, which takes me, feels like 3 hours every night, just thinking about the game. But I've loved the way Dallas has gone about their business, in particular against MacKinnon and company. And of course, MacKinnon's lit up the stat sheet, but he's going to do that. He's just an incredible player. But what I mean by that is they're playing dirty to some degree, and they're playing nasty, and I like that. Mm-hmm. When MacKinnon's in front of the crease and he's on Ottinger, they're giving him cross checks in the lumbar. They're making themselves heard, so to speak. And I complained a lot last season, especially in that series against Edmonton. I don't think Dallas touched McDavid once. And then you watch how Florida went about their business against McDavid in game one, just completely mauled him. And you have to do that. He's going to get his points. He's just so good. But you have to make him pay the price for going to some of those areas. And I've liked the way Dallas has done that. They have to be physical. They have to be nasty. And they have to cross the line sometimes. And I know in today's NHL, it's a bit shady to do that. And you don't want guys to get hurt. And I get that. But good teams this time of year, they play a little nasty. They play across the line. I think Dallas has done that to some degree, and I've really liked that. But also, when the big boys score, Dallas is going to beat Colorado 9 times out of 10, in my opinion, because they're just so deep. I think they've done a really good job against the Natchez's of the world, the Lekkonens, that have had some games, but haven't heard a lot about Brock Nelson, haven't heard a lot about Coyle either in this series. And if Dallas gets their big boys to score, they're just too deep. Even without Robertson and Miro, they just feel like they have too many weapons. And I think that was proven a bit in game five. And also there was some puck luck there. Let's not be silly about it. They had a couple bounces that went their way, but Blackwood was shaky. He looked human last night. And maybe that seeps some doubt into Blackwood heading into game six.
Yeah, I thought in the neutral zone, they eliminated the turnovers that they've had. And the other thing was the quickness of their outs in the defensive zone, which put Colorado back on their heels and created some odd man breaks. So I really like that, because when Colorado's hitting on, we saw it for a little bit in this game, when Colorado's hitting on that deep forecheck, they create a lot of turnovers, and then they go in the offensive zone and do their work.
Yeah, they're very quick on transition. In that first period in particular, Dallas did a great job, their defense in particular, on their gaps. And Colorado fumbled a lot of pucks at the attacking line because Dallas was keeping that close gap. You saw Lindell, CeCe get a few poke checks, forcing the puck back out to neutral ice. And that forces Colorado to have to reset consistently. And then in the second period, you saw Colorado get to their game a bit. And then all of a sudden, they make it a one-goal game because Dallas was just giving them way too much time and space through the neutral zone. We saw that in game four, where they're just humming, pouring into the star zone. But Dallas did a better job of that in the third period. Of course, it helped to have a three-goal lead, and they were able to shut some things down. But they have to take as much time and space away from Colorado as possible, because you mentioned when they're heavy on the forecheck, they're going to force a lot of turnovers. And when Dallas's defense can move the puck out of the zone quickly, more good things are going to happen than not, because sometimes they get stuck in this cycle where it's just get it out, and then it gets thrown right back in, and they're constantly retreating, and that wears down teams too. You saw Dallas, they just looked overwhelmed a bit in game four. After the first 10 minutes, it was just all Colorado, and they felt overwhelmed, and Dallas cannot play in track meets against Colorado. They have to play really boring games, and that's a compliment. They have to play really boring games, and that's what's going to give them to some success.
We mentioned Haskinen, we mentioned Harley. Joey, we don't mention Esa Lindell enough. Mention him a lot on the program, but he's just one of those guys that stays silent and just does his work.
Just so good on the penalty kill, and they missed him after he took that one penalty.
Yeah.
And we're like, no Lindell. He's pretty much he's just a force. He plays every single minute on the PK. He's sort of like the MacKinnon on the power play for Colorado. He just plays every single minute. You can talk about the block he made in game 3-2, and you know, Ottinger multiple times this season has said he's the best defensive defenseman in the world, and maybe that's a bit tongue in cheek, but the more you think about it, he's right up there. He has to be, and it's a great thing they got him extended too. So he's going to be in Dallas for the next 4 or 5 years, yep. Which is great. And he just so many little things, and Razor brings it up a lot about how the way he plays angles, and he's not as fast as McKinnon, we know that, but he always is in front of him. He's always right there. He forces him wide, uses the boards as his friend, and that's what you have to do as an integral defender. And as good as he is, he's done a great job. And someone else that I highlighted on Locked On Stars last night, just because I feel like I haven't talked about him enough too, is Roope Hintz. And of course, Hintz is flash. He hasn't scored a ton in this series, but I think he's played such a wonderful 200-foot game, mm-hmm. and has been an excellent one center, right? Number one guy that you have to have down the middle. And I think you could say Roope is sort of the Esa Lindell of the forward group, just because he goes quiet about his business, does an excellent job. So I wanted to praise him too last night.
Oh, I like that a lot, Joey, because I was actually praising Mikko Rantanen. I know the point production, goals, yeah. assists weren't there, but I thought his two-way game in this series has been very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the top line in general. This goes back to Robo too. Even during some of the star struggles, they work really hard, and I don't know if Rantanen's getting enough credit for that. He's working really, really yep. hard, and I try to urge people, and I don't mean it disrespectful, just please watch him play. And I know he may not be picking up the points. He's doing a lot of great things,
sure,
and he leads the Stars in shot attempts. He has the most shots on goal for Dallas in the series, and I know part of the issue is he has to score. I'm not a loner on that. I understand he has to score to be effective too, but doing a lot of great things too on the defensive zone, like you mentioned, and helping out. And those are winning plays, and it's not always who stuffs the stat sheet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, on that Wyatt Johnston's second goal, one of the things I mentioned on a post show last night was this is Mikko Rantanen as far as opening up space. If Mikko Rantanen isn't on that side, I don't know if Wyatt Johnston is that wide open as mm-hmm. far as Colorado can kind of cave and have better spacing, but they have to respect that. The passing ability of Rantanen, they have to respect that one-timer of Rantanen, so that creates more space on the other side.
Yeah, and they know him better than anybody else on the Stars. I think you could even make the point Robo may not open up that amount of space,
yeah.
just because they know how deadly Rantanen can be, and he's such an elite playmaker. And I thought Dallas did a good job of adjusting after that first power play. They started working down to the goal line again and then attacking below the bottom of the circle, and that opened up some more plays, because from what I've noticed, at least, is Nichushkin and some others, Kivi Ranta on Colorado, is really pressing up high. They're two forwards forcing Harley to get rid of the puck. They're not going to let Harley shoot from the point. It seems like they're forcing him to the flanks. So Dallas has to find other ways to get to that bumper. Maybe that's going to Duchesne down low, can find the soft spot with Johnston or whatever. But that time Johnston got sort of quiet, left alone there at the bottom circle, and Duchesne put it right on stick. And you're right, he just opens up options. And man, I thought he was going to bury one on Wedgwood late. They just kept feeding him three or four times
He
just missed the net a few times.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's play Miro Heiskanen comes back. Which defensive pairings would you like to see? Personally, I want to see Miro and Harley separated, because I think that gives me two pairings that have offensive ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes most sense now. Just with what we've seen even out of Labushkin, Petrovic's been, we talked about this last year too, Gavin. Petrovic's just been, he's been good.
It's weird.
And we mentioned that last year.
Joey, I was trying to think last night. I'm like, okay, I need to think of an athlete, any sport that plays in the minors for two straight years and comes up sparingly and then has an impact in the playoffs. And I mean, you have your one-offs like Evan Carter of the Texas Rangers that I mentioned, you know, comes up rookie, wide-eyed, and just absolutely, you know, pulls at the heartstrings of Rangers fans. So you have those one-offs, but what an underrated signing by Jim Nill. I mean, we talk about big free agents. No one's talking about the Petrovic signing in the offseason.
No, absolutely not. We're not spending 30 minutes on on Petrovic on any of these episodes. It's no disrespect to him, but he's been great too. And I believe he played quite a bit with Bischel down the AHL, so there's some comfortability there between the two, and they just look really good. But I think you're right, too. You leave Harley, Lyubushkin together. I think you allow Mira to play with Esa again. I know they kind of messed with that a bit during the regular season, so you can load them up, and that can sort of be your shutdown pairing a bit. Harley and Lyubushkin can continue to do their thing, and now the question is, do you have CeCe and Bischel or Petrovic and Bischel? And I really don't think you can go wrong there, because CeCe is more suitable for a pairing on the third pair, right? And that's where he was in Edmonton last season. And then it puts everybody sort of into a good role and where CeCe can thrive. And CeCe's been fine. Don't get me wrong, but I think it puts everybody in a more suitable position to thrive. And that's where we thought they would be coming into the season, or at least into the playoffs, fully healthy.
And Sean Shapiro pointed out on his Shap Shot Substack, what about going seven defensemen?
Yeah. I know they don't like doing that, but I understand the theory, because I think he mentioned if he's you can limit his minutes too if you do dress seven.
Yep.
It makes sense too, because what, Beck, Bork, and some playing what, 11 minutes a night? You could give Rantanen in a few more minutes. I think he's playing about a minute over his average.
Yep.
You could give Roope some. Johnson usually plays a ton this time of year too. So you give some others some ice time, maybe double shift Rantanen. And I know sometimes they've just kind of thrown him on the wing with that fourth line, and he's looked pretty good. So I think if you can work in Mira, you work him in there. And if that means you have to dress seven defensemen, I think do it. And I know they don't necessarily like to play that way, but Miro's, I think, is going to be a huge impact. And I've talked about this with Sam Nestler a bit, and he said before the series of DLS Stars, Game 6 was his mark, and that may be the game that he returns in a few days. And a 50% Miro is better than a lot of defensive in the NHL.
Yeah.
But I also want them to be 100% certain too. I want him to be fully healthy. And I feel like if he could play, he would. I don't think the Stars are just holding them out because they're up by a series, or they're up by one game in the series.
Right.
I think if he's healthy, he would play.
Absolutely. Yeah. And last year, basically, they went with five defensemen, so it would be like a vacation day to go with seven.
Yeah. Gosh, man, we miss Nils Lundqvist too. I think he would even play 12 minutes a night right now, not the 4 minutes he was when they were
you're
rolling
five. You're
absolutely
right. And staying with the defense, it's fascinating to me that the talk, you know, we talk about storylines. Mikko Rantanen certainly is a storyline. Wyatt Johnston, certainly a storyline. The crowd buzzing, a storyline. But Liam Bischel is also a storyline. But then when you look at the time on ice, Joey, second least as far as last night. That is absolutely amazing that in just over 11 minutes that he can have that kind of impact.
Yeah, and look, I've said it too throughout the season. He gives Dallas something different, and he throws his weight around. He plays with that edge, and we talked about it a lot in the offseason. I think you even mentioned it. Dallas needed to get more physical. They needed to get heavier, and I don't know if it's coming from the offseason acquisitions necessarily, like Lyubushkin and Dumba, who's been a healthy scratch now for the first five games, but who cares where you get it? And he was nails last night, just nails. And he's getting the crowd into it. For a rookie, what was he, 21 years old or something like that? Maybe even younger than that, 20? He's 20 years old. He's having a really good series. He's looked comfortable. It hasn't looked too big for him. And he had his rookie moments in the regular season, don't get me wrong. He's had some learning curves, which you would expect, and he's sort of jumping on the scene, and he solidified his spot. The Stars cannot go away from him. That says a lot for head coach Pete DeBoer and a staff that we know loves their veteran players. They're always going to side with those veteran guys, and to just trot a 20-year-old out there. And again, he's not playing a ton of minutes, but to trust him enough to play 12 against some of the best talent in the NHL consistently says a lot about the type of player. And boy, it looks like Jim Nill and the Stars hit a home run with another pick.
So it's fascinating because people think, what do you think now? Are you going to close it out on Thursday? And I mean, we can't see this audio wise, but I just lift my, I mean, if someone can say definitively and give facts and they're right, kudos on them. But the reality is this has been such a topsy-turvy series. They could go in and win Thursday night in Colorado, series over. Colorado could do what they did on Saturday night. Now all the pressure is on Dallas.
Yeah, I predicted Stars in seven, and boy, I would love for them to finish it off in six so I don't have to sweat out watching a score while I'm calling the Corpus Christi Ice Rays game on Saturday. I'm not going to enjoy that, so I hope the Stars finish it off. But you're right, and it's such small margins between both of these teams. Special teams has been nearly identical. Dallas, I think, is 4-for-18. Colorado's 3-for-17 now in the series, and this is just a public service announcement for both fan bases. If you lose by four, the refs are not your problem. I promise you, the officiating's bad for both sides, and just let it go. I know both teams are complaining about it, but special teams has been so slim, and both teams have capitalized, both teams haven't. So I promise you, officiating's not your problem when you're losing by four.
So Joey, on that point, and I'm not, listen, I love Stars fans, absolutely. But first, Josh Manson does not dive. He is not, I mean, that's a tough player. So what the example I gave last night is I gave everyone a homework assignment. I want them to run around their couch once. Okay. And there's no way when they go around their couch that they're not going to try to cut that corner. So replace the couch with the goal. Okay.
Yeah.
Of course you are going to turn. And you are going to plant that foot not flat. So it's going to be on an edge. These are razor sharp blades they're using. So if the slightest stick hits it and it's on edge already because he has to cut that corner, that's tripping.
Yeah, you're gonna fall. Like you're gonna go down. And I've said it too. I don't like the amount of power plays. What, 35 almost, which is pretty abysmal. I think it's a disgrace to some degree. But I've said this too. I think there may be two penalties in game six. The elimination games, refs really swallow the whistle. So don't expect this to be some special teams fiasco. I don't know why it takes six games or one team to be on elimination to start swallowing the whistles. I think they should let a lot more go. And I don't think this crew is going to move on. That's just my opinion based off what I've seen. I haven't watched a lot of the other series, but either way, I think it's been crap for both teams. And I think it's fair. And look, if Dallas is flopping or whatnot, good for them. I think they need to do whatever it takes to draw whistles. And that's the modern NHL. If you have to flail to get a call, you have to flail to get a call. I would like Dallas to pucker up offensively a bit more on the power play and pitch in a bit more. It would help them. But either way, we're getting off a bit of a tangent on officiating.
No, it's funny. I think, need that Florida-Tampa refs to fly in because those hits are just like, wow. Yeah. And they're not calling anything.
Well, and I love John Cooper's approach. He was asked about, I don't know if you saw the answer, and he just sat there. He's like, do you have an opinion on it? Because I get it too. Like, we want to be safe. And look, I'm not trying to protect Ekblad for the forearm shiver to Hagel's face. That was absolutely poor. But at the same time, like, it's a high physical, violent game.
Yep.
It's like football in a lot of ways. Like, you're going to get some nasty hits. And I know we're in an era that we don't like to see this all the time, but there's going to be injuries. Like, it's just how it is. And you have to toughen up a bit. And there's always going to be controversial calls. There's going to be controversial hits. And that's just hockey. And you got to move on. And we all love it to be sunshine and rainbows and nobody gets hurt, of course, but it's just not the reality of it.
One of the non-talking points is Jake Oettinger. And that's a good thing, Joey.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40. period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, well, Jake's been fine. I know a lot of people loved his game in game four. They thought he did an excellent job. And look, I'm not here to disparage that. I didn't think he was very good either on the couple of goals he gave up, in my opinion. But by no means was game four a loss on him. But they need him to be better in those situations. And he's let in a couple soft goals for my liking. But it hasn't been like he's lost them the series by any stretch. But he's been damn good. I said all the time, like, he's just been fine. More often than not, we're not complaining about Ottinger when the Stars lose a series or have been knocked out of the playoffs the last few rounds. It's been the offense, which is sort of a big story going into last night, and it's been the power play, which it's been pretty good. It's been timely. They scored that big goal in the second period last night to respond, and that's just sort of been the conundrum, I think, for Dallas in the playoffs. Is the offense and the power play gonna help you out? Because I think Otter's always been pretty lights out. Seems to be get better from games 5 through 7. He just seems to be locked in, and he was really, really good last night. Hard to stop McKinnon from the hash marks when he's all alone. He's just too damn good.
Absolutely.
That's a tough matchup for anybody. I feel bad for Duchesne, but I'm like, keep him out of the middle of the ice. Yeah. Like, try to get him down the wall.
That's when you miss.
He's always going to get to that spot at the end of the day. He's too fast. But yeah.
So I had the keys to the game, and we'll end on this. And I'm going to keep these keys as far as what needs to happen on Thursday night. I have play in straight lines, net front presence to put pressure on Blackwood, be physical. It was a free skate when Colorado won that game. Dallas was allowing Cale Makar to do whatever he wants. And the faceoff circle. That's a stat that was interesting last night. Dallas wins the faceoff battle. I think that was the first time in the series. So, when they win in the circle, that equals puck possession. Anything
you'd
like
to add? Yeah, Sagan's been great. Yeah, Sagan's, 56% in the series.
Yeah, Wyatt Johnson was great last night.
Yeah. And they want a lot of those key defensive zone draws too. And it's always important on the PK. It's been why they've been an excellent PK team this entire season, really. They win a lot of those faceoffs, and you can neutralize a lot of attacks that way. And I think they've done a really, really great job against Colorado's power play. And you look at some of the goals, they have 3 power play goals. One of them was that weird deflection. The other just beat Ottinger cleanly. I can't quite recall the other one, but I think they've done a really phenomenal job on the PK. But look, I would echo a lot of your same keys. Got to be physical again. Make McKinnon pay for going to some of those areas. Make him pay. Like, get after him a bit. Give him some bruises. Like, he needs to know that it's not going to be a free ride, and it also will keep him from going in there with as much confidence, knowing that, oh, if I go here, like, I'm going to get whacked or something. And I like that edge Dallas is playing with. It would be great if they could get out to a lead. Game four, where it's like you actually play pretty well off the hop, you get the power play, and then it just fizzles, and then boom, you give up the shorthanded goal. You kind of blew your chance, and sometimes it's you just get those little pockets on the road, and we saw that a bit, I think, in game 6 last year when Dallas was able to close out the series. Dallas wasn't their best game of the series. Like, they just kind of played that typical road game where they were kind of holding on, and as the game kept going, as the overtimes kept stacking, Dallas kept getting better. You may have to get that where Ottinger has to make a lot of saves. They're kind of swimming a bit, but they're able to just hang in there, keep themselves within striking distance, and then boom, that power play can score, or boom, the offense comes alive. And look, Blackwood now, after a bit of a shaky start, you got to test him, and they have to test him a lot here in game 6. Like, make him try to beat you, because he looked human last night for the first time.
So Saturday night, and I've been pumping the tires on this, I went to the U18 World Champions ships in Frisco. I saw USA versus Sweden, nice little tilt, and then watched the Stars game. And I say that to say the following, that the Lone Star Brahmas are matching up against Joey's Corpus Christi Rays. I got mixed emotions, man, because I want you to do well, but you know, I want you know, we want the Brahmas to do well. That being said, terrific hockey happening because a lot of these kids have signed D1 or Division 2 or Division 3 deals. This is a great league, the NAHL. It's very physical. It's going to be a great series, right, Joey?
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute war. This is it's going to be a war. These two teams do not like each other. There was a giant line brawl earlier in the season that was about, I think we had about a combined over 700 penalty minutes in the game. They're not very fond of each other. And yeah, there's a lot of good players on both teams. There's a bunch of Division I talent on Lone Star, and there's some Division I talent on the Ice Rays. And I can't wait a couple games at Nitech. So if anybody's able to make it out, it'll be a lot of fun. Maybe if Dallas is able to finish things off on Thursday, gives you a free weekend, and games are on Friday and Saturday out in North Richland Hills. And then unfortunately we have to play our home games for the Ice Rays out in El Paso just because of a big Buck Days parade back in the Coastal Bend, and the rodeo is in town, and the rodeo takes precedent over hockey, unfortunately. But that's South Texas for you a bit. But yeah, it's going to be really tough. Lone Stars are defending champions. I hate to bring this up, but I cannot stand Lone Star. Can't stand the Brahmas. I never have since I was a little kid. I hated going out there. Their head coach threw a whiteboard onto our bench during that brawl. It was a whole sort of scene. There's a whole lot of bad blood, and there's nothing more I want than to just completely hammer this Brahmas team because I think they're disgusting. So
that was a good sales job, though. That was a good sales job to head out to the Nitech Center in North Richland Hills. I like that. It's going to be a scrappy one. Hey, this has been a terrific collaboration. Need to check out Joey Locked On Stars. Obviously, you know this is Spits and Suds. So, my man. Continued success with your podcast. Good luck in this NAHL series, Lone Star Corpus Christi. It's going to be a good one, and we will catch up soon.
Appreciate you. Yeah, we'll catch up again. Have a great day, Spits and Studs listeners.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for listening and supporting Spits and Studs. We truly appreciate you guys. We'll be back with another episode soon as we get ready for Thursday night right here on Spits and Studs. Have a great day, everyone.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.